Last week I talked about the four stages or forms of Churban, where the Navi went and isolated the four, had us fast four times. Each one representing a totally different aspect of Churban, of destruction. So last time we were talking about Shavasar B'Tammuz, the idea beginning with Shviras Haluchas, the idea of how it could be that something I was going to say like the Luchas, there's nothing like the Luchas. How could it be that Luchas can be destroyed? How could the walls of Yerushalayim be broken? And we talked about the way Klal Yisrael is capable of defiling and removing all Kedusha from the holiest to the point that there's nothing left. Tisha B'Av is a whole other aspect of Churban. Tisha B'Av is Golos. The root of Tisha B'Av is the Meraglim. And we talked about the Meraglim. We talked about the issue that Klal Yisrael struggled with then. The issue of trusting Hashem in that he was not asking for the impossible. Klal Yisrael could not see that it was possible to exist as normal human beings in Eretz Yisrael, tilling the soil, as normal Jews, and live up to the standards that Eretz Yisrael requires. That was the beginning of it. It was the beginning of the separation between Klal Yisrael and its land. Klal Yisrael and the relationship with Hashem that comes about when we're all here. Tisha B'Av is that day that the separation came about in the destruction of both temples. And what's the answer? What does Hashem want from us anyway? Nothing more than what's doable and great and wonderful. It's as if we think that Hashem is asking for sacrifices. He's asking that we give up things that we can't give up. That we give up being normal. That we have to live by standards where we're always tense. Where we have to beat our characters dead until we're just not ourselves. This is what we imagine. We have this picture of perfection that sounds not only superhuman, but abnormal. Rigid, tense, narrow. And that's not us. The demands of Eretz Yisrael, the demands of Klal Yisrael living here, the land where Eini Hashem Elokecha Olam Reish Hashanah Racha Hashanah, the land where there is clear Hashgacha Pratis, where Hashem's divine intervention is apparent, where there is Gilui Shechina, where there are miracles day in, day out. The Beis HaMikdash, the miracles Chazal described there. Living on a level where you bring a korban every time you do an avera b'shogeg. Sounds like too much. Sounds like something beyond us. Something we resist. Something we not only think is too difficult to achieve, but we even have questions of whether or not we want to get there. And Hashem says this is a mistake. You missed it. It's the good life. It's not tense. It's not narrow. It's the good life. Hashem is killing off your enemies and you claim Eretz Ocheles Yosheveho. It's a land that just destroys its inhabitants, devours its inhabitants. You're misinterpreting. But what is that answer? Isn't it narrow? Isn't it difficult? Isn't it demanding? Doesn't it call for so much self-sacrifice that you wonder whom you are? Doesn't it mean giving up your personality? Honestly, would you want to live in an environment where you have to bring a korban chatos every time you do something b'shogeg? We confuse two unrelated issues. The Gemara tells us of this dispute between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Noach lo adam shenivra, Noach lo adam shelo nivra mishenivra. Loosely translated, is it really better that we were created, or would we have been better off had we not been put here? And they conclude, Noach lo adam shelo nivra. We would have been better off not being here. But we're stuck. So now that we're here, if ashvesh b'maisav, yemashvesh b'maisav, do your cheshbon ha'nefesh, behave. If you read carefully, that's not at all what it says. The issue is not if you're better off here or not. The issue is noach, easier, more practical, more comfortable. We find it difficult to think. We find it difficult to have to work through things on a daily basis and perhaps every minute. We imagine perfection as having to stop and think every time you're about to move a finger. Prepare your lines as you're about to speak. And that's so draining. We'd rather live free. We'd rather not have to think. We'd rather take it as it goes. It's definitely Noach. it's definitely more practical not having to go through all of this world and its trials. It's definitely easier. Never was there, nor there will be, a dispute over whether it's better that we were created or not. Hashem answered that by creating us. He's all good. Of course, it's the best thing for us. There's nothing like it. We know Hashem is all good. We sort of don't make the connection. Yeah, but the kid knows that mom and dad mean only his best interest. So why doesn't the kid put a coat on? Why does the kid walk out in the rain, get soaked, catch pneumonia? And even worse, have to come home and face, "I told you so." You mean my best interest, but you're saying that because that's what parents say. But to really appreciate when Hashem says that there's nothing like toil, it's the best thing for you. When Hashem says there's nothing more beautiful than growth. When Hashem says there's nothing more beautiful than not having an easy life. Making demands on yourself. Thinking, choosing. We know He's all good. But what? This is the story of Klal Yisrael. And what we got instead, we didn't get off the hook. What was the alternative? Golus. And what's Golus? The good life. Discrimination, inquisitions, the Holocaust. That's the good life? That's the easy way out? Yes, it is. We don't have to challenge ourselves. Our neighbors do it for us. Face it. The Jew is here to grow. That's all we're here for. And there's nothing like it. But we're supposed to be challenging ourselves. We find that too difficult. So what are we running to? We keep telling ourselves that we're running to the easy life. What we're running to is pressures from without. We're forced to grow from without. And Golus has indeed brought out the best in us. Such a sad story, but the Jews have done so beautifully in suffering. If only we'd push ourselves that way, without being tortured. Jews give their lives, go to their deaths screaming Shema Yisrael, ready to give their lives for Hashem. Better that than living a demanding life. When you compare, look at what we've been through and look at what we could have been. Is the claim it's too difficult? Is that legitimate? Which do we really prefer? And at the end of the day, we appreciate the suffering. We've grown from it. Looking back, it's not just a matter of lamenting the suffering of the Jews. We look back and ask ourselves, we've been forced to grow. We've been tortured to the point that we lived and died with Mesiras Nefesh. And all of that was only because we didn't want to work. On Tisha B'Av we lament the Golus. And later Kinnis were added to allow us to lament not only the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, not only the destruction of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, but the destruction of Jewish communities throughout the ages. Many of them on Tisha B'Av, and those that were on some other times, other dates, Tisha B'Av is the day. That's the day to think about them, because it's the same basic idea. It's just a further unfolding of the original Golus. What is it that we're lamenting? Suffering. Destruction. Pain. That's a mistake. Although we don't jump for joy with pain, but we know what it did for us. This year, in thinking about Tisha B'Av, there's one pasuk that keeps rolling around in my head. Pasuk in Eicha, Ma yisoneinu adom choy, gever al chata'ov. Megillas Eicha is a book of lamentations. It's not really meant to be a Musar Sefer. In the general sense, yes. Yirmiyahu HaNavi wrote what was going to happen. But this Nevuah was in the form of crying over what happened. This is how you're going to feel if you don't do tshuva. And in it we get this pasuk: Ma yisonein adam choy. What's there to be? What is there to complain about? You're alive, choy. The live human being, as much as he suffers, don't complain. You're alive. You feel pain. Be happy. It's great to be alive, even to feel pain. Do you know what pain does for you? Do you know how many people have been built by pain? When we're not in pain, we're asleep. When we're in pain, we're up, we're awake, we're there. That's not what we're lamenting. In lamenting Churban, we are not lamenting the suffering of the Jewish people. The pasuk concludes, Gever al chata'ov, what is there to complain about? What is there to lament? Sin. On Tisha B'Av we tell the stories of destructions of Jewish communities, destructions of both temples. But don't miss the point. Jewish suffering is not something we lament about. Pain is not what we lament. What we lament is the awful choice we made to grow through the pain of anti-Semitism rather than the pains of growth, rather than the beautiful pain of making demands on oneself. We gave up the good life, the life of discovering that just because you think about the words that come out of your mouth, that doesn't mean you're not natural. Just because you have to think before you do anything, that doesn't mean you're not natural. That doesn't turn you into a machine. It turns you into a machine when you don't think and perhaps take orders. When you think about everything, you're more yourself than in any other way. This idea of being spontaneous, freedom, that's not you. Those are almost involuntary reflexes. The real you is the thought out you. The real you is the you who chooses. The real you is the you who thinks. The real you is the one that gets along with friends and neighbors because he understands them. Doesn't say everything on his mind because he understands their sensitivities. The real you breaks his head over Hashem's wisdom because you're tuning into your neshama. The real you toils, stays up nights. The real you expresses what you really stand for. What are your priorities? The real you is not distracted. The real you doesn't waste whom you are. That's what we lament on Tisha B'Av. That we thought we were pushing away, giving up the life of not being ourselves for freedom. And instead we gave up true freedom for anti-Semitism, for the world forcing us into remaining the Jewish people. That's what we lament on Tisha B'Av. That's Golus. That's Mipnei Chataeinu Golino Me'artzeinu. The sins of Klal Yisrael. It's not just a matter of sin. Sin as an expression of bug off, I want freedom. And if we are to truly lament this attitude, if we are to do our soul searching, and then at the end of Eicha scream, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuv v'chadei shameinu k'kedem, we want to make that choice the right way this time. Chadei shameinu k'kedem. Let us live by those difficult standards. We beg you, take us back. Bring us back to a life where you bring a korban whenever you do an avera b'shogeg. Bring us back to a life that's demanding. Bring us back to a life of kedusha. we realize that is us. Golis is us. The image of the Jew over history, that's a Jew. Tortured, discriminated against, hated, that's a Jew. The image of the Jew is Atzilus, nobility, this fineness, Mamleches Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh, a better people, a higher people, a respected people, a people that makes endless demand on itself, a people that always strives to grow, soul searches, thinks before it talks, thinks before it does, and does tshuva on every minuscule mistake. Chazal tell us what Yerushalayim was like. You didn't go to sleep before becoming a Baal Tshuva Gemura. Between the Nisim and the Beis HaMikdash, the singing of the Levim, if you stayed overnight in Yerushalayim, by the time you went to sleep, you had done total tshuva. Tshuva Gemura. For real. Perfection. That's us. It's a burden. It's the greatest burden on earth. There's nothing like it. That's the good life. The alternative is Golus. We lament our having made the choice, the wrong one. We don't lament the suffering. We grew from that. We lament our choice of having to suffer to grow. Tisha B'Av, we think at a national scale, we think of lofty ideas, we think of the Beis HaMikdash and concepts such as Golus HaShechina. For this to be real, we have to sit down and think about ourselves and our own choices. Are we ready to push ourselves? Are we ready to make demands on ourselves? Are we really ready for a more demanding lifestyle? Are we ready for big goals? Are we ready for less sleep and more toil? Literally and metaphorically. Chazal tell us, Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Besimcha, Mishenichnas Av Mamatin Besimcha. Rashi on Mishenichnas Adar says, it's not just Purim, but Pesach is coming. Chazal, the Nevi'im, they introduce the season of Pesach Shavuos with Purim, with joy. By the same token, the Nevi'im introduce the season of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot with mourning. The essence of our tshuva on Rosh Hashanah, and that takes us through the whole season, is really making the choice. We choose toil. We want growth and opportunity in Ruchnius. And a good year in Gashmius to accommodate that. Rather than having to suffer in Gashmius as the only way to motivate us to grow. The introduction to that is look back and learn from our past. Look at the way we made decisions before. Feel the pain of the mistake. lament the pain of Klal Yisrael in having made the wrong choice. And then Chazal say, Kol Hames Abel Al Yerushalayim, whoever properly laments the destruction is Zolche V'Roa V'Simchosa. He then can see the joy of the rebuilding. Every part of the davening on Tisha B'Av ends with words of nechama, words of consolation. If we can use the mistakes of the past to really appreciate, really, really appreciate that we're not going to make these mistakes, then we have attained the nechama. Then we've gained from our mistakes and the destruction. And we've earned for ourselves the joy of the future of the Gula Shleimah.